sports listeners. I'm your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday.
This whole hour of Saddlebar with Teen Athletes. Woo! And we're talking all athletes.
Phew! Good morning, everybody. Whether you're driving in the car or you're having a cup of tea in Paris, because we're global, we want to say hello. Okay. Yeah, it's so exciting knowing what the internet has done, and when you hold on to that, and you actually realize, you know, the lives that you can affect just one by one, it's just absolutely amazing. My name is Erica. I'm the host of Teen Sports Radio. Now, just past our 14th year, going into our 15th year today, we have a great group. All right, we've got the CEO, founder of YouthWell, Rachel Seidel, is in the house. Woo! Hey, Rachel.
Hi, nice to see everybody.
We've got Ryan Quirk in the house. He's going to be going over his Chapter 5, Transmuting Trauma, Ultimate Freedom. I need that because I got trauma. Okay? I like it because I pay Ellen McKenzie $210, okay, for 1 hour to dump my trauma. So this is free therapy for me. I'm very excited. We also have Frankie Sandoval is back. How you doing, Frankie?
Good, and yourself?
Good. Okay, we got Nick Jane a little bit later. He's going to be doing our 360 Sports Recap. We've got Anthony Rodriguez in the house. How you doing, Anthony?
Still breathing.
Woo! Okay, and now we've got a hookah today with Don Sanders. So what I want to do, because, you know, this is a local show, even though we're global, but I want to touch on a few things, maybe reach out. And we did have a little kerfuffle. Anthony, what happened? Tell us about the kerfuffle a few weeks ago, because we need to raise some money. That's what I like to do here, raise money. Everybody, everybody go get your change jar right now. Everybody's got a change jar. Talk to me.
Yeah, so you know, in our county, we have a team that goes and does training for our community members and organizations and you know, different locations, and we have a trailer, which is the program is called Community Emergency Response Team, and we provide the training for free for everyone. We provide backpacks, and you know, we have a trailer that we use for our training, and it's disaster response training. And unfortunately, our trailer was broken into where we had it, and they stole a lot of our large items that we used to be able to train our community in this program. And it's, you know, we've had that trailer for 14 years, and it's, you know, it means a lot. It's done a lot in our community, and our equipment was stolen. And we're trying to find ways that we can go ahead and recuperate the items that were stolen. And there is some things that, you know, we didn't need, but it was nice to have. But there is things that they stole. They sold our generator. They stole extension cords. They stole shovels. They stole our pry bars. They stole a lot of our medical equipment, dummies. They stole our handheld radios. So anything that we need in a disaster for us to be able to be prepared and, you know, respond and also train, it was taken. And so they even took a dummy. I don't know why they took a dummy, but hey.
So if anybody in Santa Barbara is driving, they see a dummy in the car, get the license plate number, okay?
Yeah, they took our triage tarps, you know, that were brand new. They were literally still in the bag. They stole that, and that is very expensive. They stole our moulage kits, which are expensive. Those are like $1,000. They took all that, and you know, it's upsetting because we do this for our community. We do it, you know, when we try to go to other locations, we donate our time to be able to train our community, and for it to be taken like that, it's devastating. So if anybody wants to make a donation, what Food Bank has done, because Food Bank does use that trailer for training and it has helped us for our disaster initiative, you can go onto the KUYT website and look up the story. And at the very bottom of the story, there's a link. And then you can click on that link and make any type of donation. And if we raise the money enough money to take care of the trailer, the rest of the excess money will go to the Food Bank's disaster initiative, which That's what has helped us train 125 people so far. That includes our board members, our staff, and we're requiring training for staff members, but our community. And so if anybody would like to donate, we would really appreciate it. Some people have donated some items, which has been great, and we really appreciate it. But yeah, no, it's really heartbreaking for that to happen.
You know what I liked about it? You know, I shared that story with you. As you know, we went to across the street. We were telling the owners at La Garita, and what does she want to do? She automatically wants to participate. So this is what's really beautiful about that whole Old Town Goleta community, is that people want to help. They just have to be informed, and they just have to be led, because that's just not acceptable. And we need to come together as a community. And when the little hiccups like this happen, you know, we're not going to let us beat us up. You know, we're just not going to let it happen. So right. Anyway,
as a community emergency response team member, I mean, that's what we face. That's what we're put out there for. So we're just going to come back stronger. You know,
We need a refresh. That's it. We need new stuff. We need the newest bags, the newest everything. We need to do Kardashian. All right, let's get to Dr. D. You want to give some love to the community? Well, who do you want to give love to?
Well, there's a Mexican restaurant here in Old Town Goleta that really serves one heck of a good chimichanga. Thanks to the delivery service that that brought it here to the station. I'm very grateful. Anthony's Uber, and really appreciate that. And I hope I pronounced this correctly. La Garita.
Yes, this is perfect. Hey, Frankie, you're the one who told me what that means. Tell the folks out here what that means.
It means warrior, but lady warrior.
That's right.
That's right.
You know, and, you know, when I went to Yulisa and I said, you know, a buddy of mine told me that it means this, and she, like, clenched her fists, and she, like, went Hulk on me. Like, yeah, that's what I am, in a good way, a warrior. I'm like, man, you opened up during COVID. You had to be a warrior. So if anybody's got an opportunity, the prices are great. The food is great. It's right across the street from the community center. It's a mama papa shop, literally. Husband and wife, everything's authentic. Everything is homemade. Rachel, have you ever been out there?
I haven't.
Yes.
I need to try it.
Yeah, spread the love, because starting next Tuesday, they partnered with Teen Sports Radio. The magic word is Teen Sports Radio. If you go in there and say Teen Sports Radio and you have a child 10 and under, guess what?
Meals free.
They eat free. Yeah, baby. That's what we're doing. Free food, 10 and under.
Food is so good, man.
Yeah. Off of the child's bed. You got to eat, you know, pick an item off of the children's bed menu. But I put it out there to her, and I stuck my hands in the air, and I go, free children. It's like Sizzler. Remember Sizzler back in the day? My kids are older, okay? But anytime they get something fantastic, I'm like, we're going to Sizzler. And because kids eat free. So I was super mom, okay? And it didn't cost me anything. So it was outstanding. It was perfect. I loved it. So, and then I got him to do the Sizzler dance. But anyway, we got a lot of show. Anybody else want to raise your hand if you want to say something, give some love out to anybody in the community, anybody? All right, Brian.
I want to give some love to the Dr. Dugan here on who's right here. He's going to be helping me make my audiobook version of the book so that anyone, whether they struggle with dyslexia or are visually impaired, can listen to an 18-year-old's guide to self-mastery. So we're going to be doing that together. So thank you, Dr. Dugan, also thank you for being an amazing human being. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Aww. I appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to working with you. It's going to be fun.
I'm feeling love right now. All right, I got to, how about Santa Barbara Fish Market? Nathan, we love you. You gave me an extra clam because you like my friend who's 82 years old, blue hair. If you're going with blue hair and you're in your 80s, maybe Nathan will give you an extra clam. Well, I don't know.
That kind of leaves me out, doesn't it?
That's it. Nathan, we love you. And he just killed me. He just couldn't stop staring. I'm like, that's kind of weird. Do you know him? No. He goes, I just love that blue hair. And he tossed the clam in the bag. I loved it. That's after he weighed it. So I know it's free. All right, I'm going. Guess who's in the house? Who's got to go? Nick Jaden's like, I got to get back to class. Let's get to Nick Jaden right now.
Thanks, Erica. I'm Nick Jaden, and this is your SB 360 Weekly Sports Recap. Starting off with UCSB baseball, they played 4 games this past week. They took on the UCLA Bruins and won that game. They also had a 3-game series against UC Davis, and they picked up all 3 dubs as well. Their pitching was dominant in those 4 games. They only gave up 2 runs. Their next game is against LMU, where they also have a 3-game series against Cal State Fullerton this weekend. Moving on to UCSB softball, they had 3 games this past week. They lost 2 and won 1. In that win, the winning pitcher was Ainsley Waddle. The saving pitcher was Malaya Johnson, and that was the first of her season. Catcher Alicia Acosta went 2-for-3 and also had an RBI. Their next series is against UC Davis. They also have 9 games left in their regular season, so hopefully they can finish off strong. UCSB volleyball, they played against Hawaii in round 1 of the Big West playoffs. Sadly, their season did come to an end. They lost to the Rainbow Warriors 3-1. But they had 0 seniors on their team, which means their whole team is coming back next year, so hopefully they can have more success next season. UCSB women's water polo, they finished off their regular season with a 15-13 overall record. Their senior night was also this past Friday, where they took on Cal State Fullerton and won 10-3. They are now the 6th seed in round 1 of the Big West playoffs. They will take on Long Beach State, so hopefully they can move past them into round 2. Also, wanted to give a quick shout out to La Garreta, which is an authentic Mexican restaurant. They have great deals, so make sure to take your family there and have a great meal. Switching schools, we'll now take a look at Westmont baseball. They had a 4-game series against Biola, where they split that series with 2 wins and 2 losses. They finished their regular season this week, where they will take on Hope International and have a 4-game series against Concordia. Moving to SBCC baseball, they had 3 games against Moorpark, Cuesta, and Oxnard, where they had 3 dubs in all of those games. They beat their crosstown rival 12-0, and this also improves their win streak to 9 games. They also finished their regular season, where they will take on Allen Hancock, LA Pierce, and Moorpark. SBCC men's volleyball, they played against Orange Coast in the state quarterfinals, where they lost 3-0, so their season is now over, but making it to the playoffs was no small feat, so good job to our Vaqueros, and hopefully they can have more success in the playoffs next year. Wrapping it up with SBCC women's beach volleyball, they had 2 games this past Friday, where they took on Moorpark and Cuesta. They were dominant in these 2 games, where they won 4-1 and 5-0. Their next games are this Friday, where their opponents are TBD, but their overall record is 16-4, so they have a great regular season and will hope to continue that streak. That is it for your SB 360 Weekly Sports Recap. Signing out, I'm Nick Jaden. Back to you, Erica.
Woo! Nick did it again! You know, he's doing the video now, putting the video up on Facebook. How does he look, D? You're, come on, you're the expert.
Looking good, looking good.
Doesn't he? All right, so on the reel, he's got the looks, okay? He's getting better and better every week. I'm looking forward to him on the big screen shortly. I'm telling you, isn't that nice? We're the birthplace. Not since like Ava Burford, okay? Then, of course, we had from the first female was who? Do you remember Josie McCoy?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What is she known for? Do you remember?
Honestly, it's been so long, it's not off the top of my head, no.
Every single Tuesday
at 9
a.m. Come
That's
on
right.
now. I mean, That's all of right. our kids, this is the beautiful thing, all of our kids have helped and has led to the organic growth of this show. It's really exciting. So I do want to do one thing. We do have the California burrito from La Garita that we're going to be launching this week. And you know what I thought about doing? Let's do this. Bishop Cardinals last week did a great job. Their last game, they won 15-5. There are too many ladies there. to pick one, and I'm going to let Cardinals coach Melinda Matsumoto, I'm going to let her pick the winner. So I am going to donate that California Burrito over to Bishop Diego High School and let her do what coaches do. All right. And it's probably going to be hard to pick. And who knows if there's more than one she needs, then T-Sports Radio will definitely provide. What do you say?
Yeah, I think that'd be terrific. Absolutely.
Phew! All right. So let's hit it. We've got a big show today. Stay tuned for more after these messages. Santa Barbara Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday,
9 a.m.
Hi, I'm Rachel Steidel. I'm the Executive Director of Youth Well in Santa Barbara County, and our focus is on addressing early intervention and prevention efforts around youth mental health and supporting families with youth through the age of 25. And we do that by convening a collaborative every month, working with partners throughout the county, which includes our school districts, our providers, our law enforcement, probation, anyone who is committed to this work. And with that, we also provide a lot of programming, which includes education. We go out and teach mental health first aid and QPR. We have a resource directory for the whole community. And also are providing support groups now for parents and workshops. And also do a lot of resource navigations to help families navigate their journey.
Question. So did you just like wake up one day and like, I'm going to start Youth Well? Like, how did this whole thing get started? Because it's I know the answer to this, but it's a great story.
So, Erica, I was trying to scale back on my work, not scale up. I had a business in our community for 15 years, and my own daughter struggled with her mental health in high school. And when I saw how hard it was after we went through that journey for families to access services, and I had a background in clinical psychology, and I had a background in resourcing and navigating in our community. I grew up here. And when we were put to the test, I couldn't believe how hard it was to get information and get her to support services. So about 8 years ago, I sold my business and convened all the stakeholders in our community. And somehow Youth Well was born from that. And we've been going strong ever since.
That's a great name, too. I mean, you got the whole package. You know, you fill the need, you got the name, you got, I mean, honestly, and this is why anything, when you're throwing your blanket out, like I said, and you're trying to, you know, your tentacles are going out deeper and deeper, because it's not like we need your services less, we need 100% more. You know, we see the statistics out there, it's all over the news. I mean, we've got a sheriff out there that's just pleading with you know, the county to help and support him with the 51% rise in fentanyl deaths. We lost 226 souls. So I mean, you're facing that kind of every day, you know, when you have to analyze the box of Skittles. You know, it's scary stuff. So what on that whole prevention there, because I know you're affiliated with the law enforcement. So do you have a lot of classes? Because they don't offer it in school. They're supposed to. I would think they should. But like, what is Youth Well doing?
Well, so Erica, we have a youth advisory board, and we've been working with students since the beginning of this, because we learn when we work with students. And one of the things that we've talked a lot about in our community is how important it is to build trust with students, right? They are struggling. There are so many things coming at them every day. The pandemic didn't help, but these issues were here long before. And so one of the things that students are sharing with us is they want, and I can't tell you how many times we hear this, they want parents and teachers and the adults in their lives to be more educated on mental health. so that when they ask for support, they're not being told, this is nothing, you're just teenagers, you'll get through it. So the earlier we address these issues, the more we prevent crisis situations, right? The more that we can step in, give students the tools they need. So a lot of the education that we're doing, things like mental health first aid and QPR training, are really trying to give everybody that same language so that we can step into these conversations and not be afraid of them. And more than anything, to me, it's how we think outside the box. A lot of students are struggling with feeling isolated, and that comes from technology, that comes from the fallout from the pandemic, that comes from social media. Not every student needs therapy. A lot of students need to feel connected into something meaningful. So how do we really listen to students and families and really, instead of treating them like a checkbox, really look and listen and find out what it is that they need and how do we connect them to those resources?
All right, so we got Dawn Sanders wants to add in, and I know, Ryan, and then we got Frankie. So let's do it like that. Dawn, Ryan, Frankie, and then we're going to have another section. We're going to continue. Dawn.
Yeah, I like what you were saying there about if you get some help or you receive some service, then it sounds like you're helping turn that into some way that they can give back to the people that come, that know, that, you know, identify that they want to go there for some help, whoever's in their life supports them to do that, and then make it a practice of being able to help somebody else too.
John, I love that, because we do a lot of focus on how important it is to volunteer in our community, because we know that volunteering actually improves our mental health. Yeah. However, so many young people are tasked with getting a certain number of hours to graduate that it becomes another to-do list on their list rather than something that they are getting excited about. So we talk to families again about, if you're going to do the volunteering, find something meaningful to you. Don't just do it to get it over with. Find something that you're going to connect with and feel inspired by.
Yeah. I had an idea real fast. I just definitely went Frankie and Ryan to build in, but I'm not going to say the organization, okay? But I think that if you're holding a high position in any nonprofit, don't you think maybe they can reorganize it, maybe do a 30-hour work week, and then do 10 hours of volunteer work within that organization? You're getting paid for it, but your duty is not on the computer. Your duty is actually to go to the people that you're supposed to service. And I think if you had all those hours, those extra, because then I think you get more connected, you get more familiar, you could actually see what's needed. You see what I'm saying? I mean, you're getting paid by the organization, but it's a 30-hour work week and 10 hours of getting into the trench. What do you think?
I think it's great. Now, I just want to throw out there one company that does this in our community is Deckers. They do a phenomenal job getting their staff involved in our community and volunteering. It's incredible.
Nice.
Yeah, oh, darn. A great job. They help. They compete a lot with our food bank volunteers. So it's really awesome.
That's brilliant. Okay, cool. And then we need to have that love spread. Ryan, what we're going to do, we're going to go to break, and then you're going to start off, and then we got Frankie right after you, and that's right after these messages.
Good night, the light, and let it shine, just on the night, like the 4th of July, because baby, you're a firework, come on, show them what.
Santa Barbara Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday,
9 a.m.
Hi, I'm Ryan Quirk here with Teen Sports Radio, author of An 18-Year-Old's Guide to Self-Mastery, How to Master Your Life from the Inside Out. And on the topic of mental health, like we were just speaking with a brilliant Rachel here, who founded Youth Well, we're going to be talking about, really briefly, trauma. right? It's something that a lot of people experience. Erica, I know you said that you experienced some trauma in your past and how we overcome that. And the main thing that people get really afraid of when it comes to their trauma is just that negative feeling. That's the kind of, it's the kind of stickiness of these negative emotions that sit inside. And what I like to, one thing that I like to give everyone, which trauma tends to undermine, is one mantra that I have people repeat, which is, I trust myself. The greatest anxiety we experience is a lack of trust in ourselves, because when we go through a traumatic event, we somehow unconsciously believe that it was our fault, that we are somehow wrong or different for slipping into a negative state or going through a negative experience or getting hurt or getting someone else hurt. And so reestablishing that trust within ourselves by just affirming to yourself regularly, I trust myself. Because the truth is, in every part of your life, you did the best with what you had, right? That's the, and going forward, you don't need to hold on to this anxiety and this sense that you somehow are, it is completely your fault for everything that happened to you. All right, Erica, I don't know if you said that you had gone through some trauma in your life. I don't know if there's anything that you want to touch on with that or with having gone through the book and the chapter.
I like what you said. You have, for me, the best thing that, and I could really recommend this to everybody, is tell. I had bad things happen to me as a babe with a babysitter, and it went on for a long time and I was very little. But when I told and we moved, it's kind of like what Dr. May was saying, you know, for her to get past all of her stuff, she had to shut everything down. She literally left the country, right? So it's almost kind of like, I can't say, obviously some kids, you know, they can't move, but we moved. And that, as far as my healing, the whole telling and the healing, and, you know, my whole life I've shared it because I want people to tell, right? You know, you have to say, and I was always, as a coach, probably reason why I got into coaching for 28 years, because I don't know if I thwarted anything, but boy, when I got a bad feeling about anybody, I circled the wagons. That's just exactly what I did. And I had to go, I think I got really intuitive about it. So thank you. Thank you for this book, Ryan. I really mean this. And thank you again to Rachel, because all we've got to do is talk, and we can't be afraid to share. We got to get our heads out of the sand. You know, Rachel brought up something, and we have to own it and be accountable. And Frankie has, I've had many hours and hours of conversations with Frankie. Like, Frankie, I mean, he was not responsible for being a 3 or 4 year old, you know, coming across, okay, to this country, and his parents were kids having them. So, you know, he had to forgive them. Okay. So that just with piece of it, and this is the road and the journey that he's become. So Brian, again, thank you for all the support that you're offering. And I think that everybody has to hold a placemat to listen, but then again, understand that we have big problems right now and it's time to wake up. And thank you, Rachel, again, for getting these parents woken up. Definitely.
Rachel, I see your hand up.
Brian, I can't tell you how insightful what you said is, and how important it is. Two things that stand out to me that we talk to families about all the time, and it comes from a lot of it from me having grown up with my own traumas, is not to discount anyone's situations and not to compare. So often when, and I hear this with teens and I hear this with people when they're starting to struggle, my situation's not as bad as that other person's situation. So somehow my feelings aren't valid. So like you said, trusting yourself. I think the other thing is sometimes we give other people too much power to minimize. So we don't trust our gut. You know, it's like I've talked to people when they've gone to meet with a therapist and it's not working out, and somehow they think that's their fault. And it's like, no, sometimes the chemistry is not there and you have to find someone else. That's not you being lesser than or doing something wrong. Yeah. So I really appreciate what you said.
Yeah, Frankie, I want you to throw in there.
Yeah. I can agree with all you guys, because I mean, I've gone through trauma. Again, I've blamed myself for almost 3-4 years. And I sat down with myself and thought myself, like, okay, like, what's the root of this? Like, I'm not happy with myself. Like, you know, and I have, pretty much me healing myself is like forgiving people what they've done to me or you know, just in the past. Like, for instance, yeah, like how you said, Erica, my parents had me at a young age. They didn't know, no one has the right tools to be a parent. So they teach you how they taught them. And then from them, like I learned from them. I wouldn't do what they did to me, to my son. For that reason being, I'm a whole totally different person with my son rather than like how they were with me. And I don't blame them because, I mean, that's how they got brought up. You know, Mexicans, they're really old school. You know, they're by the book and whatever they say, it goes, you know, to what they think. But, you know, if they had like an education, if they had resources, like, you know, how you guys have the resources to give out to these people out here, like, they would have, it would have been better. You know, they would have seen the upside of life, like, okay, this isn't how you're supposed to do things. You're not supposed to talk to your kids this way or that way, you know, and just sit down and talk to them about their problems rather than, like, you know, like, just lecture them about how they grew up. It's like, okay, yeah, everyone lives a different way, you know, but not everyone's the same.
I think
Ryan, talk about the labeling, because you hit that on that in your chapter, and I think that's the first thing everybody wants to be is part of this group, or you gotta throw all that away.
Yeah, so the first thing that I'll say is I love this quote from Tony Robbins. He says, "No problem is permanent, only my soul is permanent." And I think the scariest thing that happens is when we go through a traumatic experience or when we find ourselves in a negative state, such as anxiety, depression, and so on, we believe that the problem is permanent. And we have to affirm to ourselves that we trust ourselves and there is a solution. And that the problem is not permanent, it's not going to last forever, is really, really key. And one of the main things, too, that happens when we go through traumatic experiences is we become overly identified with the negativity, which is, for example, you know, someone goes through a experience and they find themselves having daily panic attacks and they say, oh, I'm just an anxious person. This is how I've always been. This is a part of my identity and who I am. And what I like to say to people is, no, anxiety, this parasite of anxiety has attached itself to you, but it is still separate from you, right? Instead of identifying and saying, I am this problem, you say this problem has attached itself to me, and we create that separation. So for anyone out there who's listening, just understand if you're going through something challenging, affirm to yourself that you trust yourself and reach out for support, like Erica said, because there are people who are willing to help you. And the problem is not permanent. Only your soul is permanent.
And Ryan, that also has to do with when people get diagnoses. It's so true that is a when we talk to people about this, it's treating it like any other part of your life. I'm an athlete, right? I'm an athlete. I have depression, but I'm not depression, right? It isn't. You're so right. It's not your own whole identity, and that can feel so defeating when you put that label on yourself,
right?
Or someone puts that label on you,
right? Don.
Yeah, also it's important, I think, to reach, as we've been saying, to reach out, but there's also, there needs to be some kind of a personal practice, whether somebody relies on faith or whether they develop, in my form of Buddhism, we chant Nam-myoho-renge-kyo. Others do a silent meditation. If you can learn young to start working on yourself and not be swayed by these eight winds of, you know, things are going good, things are going bad, things are picking on you, things are ignoring you. If you cannot be swayed by those things, it's never too early to start some kind of a practice.
Beautiful. Wonderful. Hey, let's take another break. Fill up your coffee. Stand, stretch time. We'll be back with more after these messages.
That takes me back, and I let go with so much freedom. When I live, I'm gonna get to, 'cause it's my freedom. When I move my body just like this, I don't know why, but I feel like freedom.
And this is Santa Barbara Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday,
9 a.m. him.
For Teen Sports Radio, I'm Don Sanders, donsmassageohi.com, 805-236-2684. I'm here to bring you a hygge. It's a Scandinavian term for a warm, comfy, cozy feeling that is like a hug, but without actually receiving the physical hug. And I want to talk about three kinds of treasure and about some other things related to that. The three kinds of treasure Buddhism talks about are the storehouse, the body, and the heart. More important than the storehouse is important. You know, you got to have food, you got to have a roof over your head, you got to have shelter and clothing. But then even more important than the storehouse is the body. You teen athletes, it's like you're taking care of your body and you may sacrifice everything for your sport, but I hope you learn to take care of yourself and recoup and regenerate and don't leave it all out there for the field or the court. And then the most important of the three treasures is the heart. I don't know, some of you young folks may not have heard of the famous comedian and actress Mae West. She was also, it turns out, a champion for LGBTQ rights. She talked about how a gift diamond is better than one that you buy for yourself. So she really was, she was talking about is enriching others in the moment and over time. And so, you know, you will fall sometimes. Human beings are mostly filled with water and emotions, and they're shifting constantly. So the thing is, you got to redetermine, take action like the things we've been talking about, and never give up. And last week, Ryan said something from his book, Get High on Your Own Supply. So you're learning to forge a self, you know, that's not swayed by all these outside influences and things. Redetermine and remember this, you're not going to get it perfect. And mastery is a trap a lot of times. You may master things, but just keep making steady efforts. I like these two expressions, momentum over mastery. And I thought of another one, persistence over perfection. And so real quick, my own personal connection to Mae West was one time I was working for a guy in construction and we did demolition on Mae West's old house by the beach in Santa Monica, and it was becoming somebody else's house and she was dead. And so in any case, you know, construction happens over a long period of time and it takes planning, organization, steady efforts, setbacks, redetermining. But destruction, all it took, you get out the big sledgehammer and wham, you're knocking through walls. So don't do that in your life. It's like work on construction, not destruction or demolition.
Wow. Okay. I was glad that we waited a week for that hygge because that was perfect. Perfect. Rachel.
Yes.
I know you're still, I don't know, pondering, like, you know, engaged. What, how do you feel right? Wasn't that good?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a hard one to follow.
You were doing a lot of writing. I could see you probably starting a program over that little piece of hygge. Ryan.
Yeah.
It's another book right there.
It's another book. Something I wanted to quickly connect to what Don, you just said is this idea of focusing more on the inputs rather than the outcomes, right? So, and I love what you said about momentum over mastery, which is kind of paradoxical because my book is called An 18-Year-Old's Guide to Self-Mastery. But what I always touch on in the book is that it's a journey, not a destination. And it's one that's ever expanding. You will, the only thing that you'll achieve is how much you surprise and shock and delight yourself. But from there, it just continues on and on. And so really perfecting the input and not the output. And for any young athletes listening, I think that's so key, which is instead of saying like, oh, I want to win this game. Ask yourself, what are the inputs that are going to lead to that? Right.
Yeah, what you said there was you said something about retaining the fun when you have momentum over mastery. The whole activity remains fun, you know, not sometimes in their best intentions, people drill, drill, drill until there's no more fun left. No joy in the activity.
Well, people forget it's the journey and it's right. Not the win. It's how what they experienced along the way.
Right.
It's a marathon, not a sprint. All right. Let's take a little break. We'll be back. We got a little left.
Better run through the jungle. Well,
back, and this is Santa Barbara Teen Sports Radio Show. I am your host, Erica, the Queen of Teen. Please tune in
every single Tuesday,
9 a.m.
Alrighty, so yeah, just for any young athletes listening, work on the inputs, not the outputs. So identify what your goal is, which is, you know, if you want to win a certain game or achieve a certain status on your team, that's the output. But then create a hypothesis. What are the inputs? What are the daily actions I can take that will lead to that? And then release your expectations about what's going to happen. Focus on the action, not the outcome. And paradoxically, more and more of the outcomes will start to come that you want.
Woo! Nice.
Yes.
Rachel, tell us how add to that.
I think a lot of times when we talk to students who are get to college, we see a lot more students struggling. Mm-hmm. And what they say is they've spent their whole life, and I think this generation has had so much on them performing, right? There's so much expected of them in order to get to college. And to your point, Ryan, they're so focused on the destination that they get there and all of a sudden they're so discombobulated with now what? Now what? It's all been about this. And now what's next, right? It's all been about getting good grades, overachieving, doing my best in my sport, doing my best in school, doing my most volunteer hours. And they've lost sight of what the journey is and why they're, they're there in the first place. So I would say the more, and I think as parents and adults, we have to model this more too. So why we are expecting what we're expecting of ourselves and of others versus focusing on being in the moment, being present, practicing our self-care.
Yes, the journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. That's from Lao Tzu. And it's so, so true. It's so true. And yeah, I think just with that, it's, you know, for example, like if a teen athlete or a youth athlete is out there listening and you want to do better in your sport, you want to achieve a little bit more, just write out what are 3 actions that I'm not taking that I could be taking that would bring me closer to my outcome. Because it's not that you let go of the goal or the dream or the vision or the outcome, but you come to really focus on the little steps, because the success lies not in the grandiose opportunity. Your coach throws you in with 30 seconds left in the game and you're so excited. The success lies in the little actions that you're not taking. And that goes for anything. That goes for school. You know, 20 minutes of studying is better than 1 hour of studying once a month. 20 minutes of daily studying, right? These little actions, how can you break it down into small doable steps, and success will be inevitable and joy will be inevitable, which is the true success is joy.
Frankie, I've noticed that with you this last year. You've been so remarkably inspirational to me, because when we have our talks pretty much every day, you always tell me the little thing that you did that day. And I could see a whirlwind of change and progress in your life, especially the last 90 days. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Seriously. The journaling has really helped you, huh?
No, honestly, like, this past year, like, you know, well, you and Dominique being in you guys' lives, it changed my perspective about things. Like, okay, like, you know, today it doesn't work, but it doesn't mean that tomorrow won't, you know, and I have to, me obviously being blind and stuff, I have a lot of fallouts. Sometimes I can't do things, you know, typically that occur with my vision, and, I beat myself up for it. I'm like, you know what? It's not your fault. Just got to keep on going. You know, there's a purpose through all this. There's a purpose to my journey. Just like how anybody, whether it's they want to do good in school, they want to do good in their life. It just, everything has a purpose in life, whether it's good or bad. You know, it's not everyone gets, you know, the good end of life. You know, everyone has their fallouts. Everyone has to do good and they have to do bad in order to, well, in order to become human, because that's part of being human, you know.
What I always say to you, like when we share and you had a really crappy day, I'm like, well, thank goodness we got rid of that day. That is done. Okay. Tomorrow, it can only upside from here. That's it. That's what I tell everybody in Teen Sports Radio. All right. It can only be better. That's right. So, listen, I want to give a lot of hugs and love to Rachel Seidel, Ryan Quirk. Nick, thank you so much. You're just killing the sports recap. We love you. Frankie, you're always welcome on Team Sports Radio. Next week, I think we're going to have Namita with Namita's Cuisine will be out. And of course, we'll always have a lot because we love Santa Barbara. Thank you. See you next week.
I'm unstoppable. I'm a butcher with no breaks. I'm invincible.